the human being. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, his remembrance. When he starts to remember Allah, when he starts to do the dhikr of Allah, then due to doing the dhikr of Allah, the biggest ni'mah, the biggest gift, treasure, the biggest benefit that the human being attains and earns is that due to the barakah of dhikr, blessings of dhikr, by doing dhikr slowly, slowly, insan, the human being, all of his, you can say, negative and bad inclinations slowly translate to good inclinations, good thoughts. The bad actions or sins, he doesn't even realize, slowly those paths, they diminish, disappear. And then good habits, good practice, good deeds, good thoughts, good inclinations, good emotions start to descend into that person's life. And in the dhikr of Allah, Allah Ta'ala has put his barakah, his blessings. And but by doing this, the person starts to clean himself, to polish himself. When a person does dhikr, that person starts to purify himself or herself. And then the extra reward on top of that is that he or she attains ibadat and the ability to worship, to come towards Allah, go towards Allah, that normal people don't attain. We as people, we just keep to a certain limit of ibadat. But when a person starts to do his tazkiyah, tafsiyah, purification, clean himself or herself, then that person starts to extend and get closer to Allah. And the tariqah of that person, the way of life of that person, life in society, and all of his actions, internal, external, outside, whatever, start to become ibadat. And due to the purification of that person, the blessings of the purity, then every action, statement, word, deed becomes ibadat for that person. Ma'ashri ibadat, the societal deeds, actions, intercourse with society, are very many indeed. And we lose out in the reward for these because a person's batin is not clean, it is not pure, and that person doesn't realize that this action is ibadah. Routine actions, daily things we do, every day, home, outside, but we don't know that they are ibadah. And one azim ibadah that's coming to my mind that I would like to discuss with you and share with you is that this is a daily action, a daily pastime, a daily occurrence, standing, sitting, walking, meeting people. This is included in those activities. And we do this ibadah, but we don't know it's ibadah. Young, old, middle-aged, child, whoever it is, everyone comes across this action, this need. And this is the azim sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mashwara, to consult with people, to seek advice or give advice. Now, if we see that sometimes an occurrence, something comes, occurs, and you have to do mashwara, consult at home, with family, outside, with a friend, or with a colleague, with an associate, even if you're standing in a queue and there are other people there and you're trying to get something done, then the person in front of you in the queue, oh, are you doing this? Oh, you're in front of me or you're behind me. What should I do? So in our daily lives, we have the need to consult. And it's a very beneficial action, very important action to seek consultation. Allah Ta'ala spoke barakah in consultation. But at that time, only that time, when we consult with that method, with that niyyah, intention that this is ibadah that I'm about to do, then it's very beneficial. Then it's to give advice and to seek advice. To consult, to give somebody consultation and to seek consultation. The Prophet ﷺ, a portion of the hadith, Allah's Nabi ﷺ stated that if you seek advice from somebody, then that person is protecting the trust. He is protecting the trust. This is a portion of the hadith that I've presented in front of you. So if I seek advice or go to get consultation, the person who's given me the consultation is the possessor of trust, amana, subhanAllah. Now Abu Hashim was a sahabi. This hadith we learn, this hadith is narrated in Tirmidhi. And as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to this sahabi that, do you have any khadim or any worker, like the ghulams people used to have at that time? And Abu Hashim said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have no worker, I have no khadim, no like servant, such type person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is it? Okay, whenever anybody comes to me, like a prisoner or somebody who comes, then you come and we'll do something. And he said, yes, I will, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this stayed in his mind. By chance, it occurred that some workers came in that time, in that generation, you'd have that sort of occurrence that used to happen. And the Prophet ﷺ invited, that I promised you, I am reminding you now that there's somebody here available, so call Abu Hashim. So he came to the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and there were two prisoners, two workers. And the Prophet ﷺ said, take one of these for yourself to work for you. And the reply that Hazrat Abu Hashim gave, he said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can I select? That you please select for me who is the best, subhanallah. You please select for me. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied in that time, this reply, that when you seek advice from someone, that person is the person who is preserving the trust in that consultation. So at that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that take this as this person as a worker, as your servant. And then he gave his advice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, and he said that I'm giving you this person. That's why I've selected this one person for you. I'm giving you mashwara for this reason, that I've seen him. I've observed him praying. So he's upright. And bear this in mind, that give him good treatment, said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Treat him well, treat him nicely. Hussan Suluk. This hadith is being narrated, continuing. And Abu Hashim said, I took the servant, the worker, my wife was with me. When we took him, then after taking him as a worker, we thought, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, on top of this, an extra order with regards to this worker, our servant, and now there's a boundary around us, a limit. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that treat him nicely, fairly, treat him well. And now he, this servant, he's not a servant, he's not a worker, rather he's our master. Look at the love of the Sahaba. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Because of the order of the Prophet ﷺ and the emphasis to teach the worker nicely, look how much akal they had in their minds and their brains. The wife, she stopped. Not the husband, the wife stopped and said, Hashim, what's happened here? We came to get the worker. He's not a servant for us. He's now our master. That we've got the hukam, the order, that we have to treat him nicely, fairly, well. And the person who told us to treat him nicely, his standard is high, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanallah. That we can try our best and full efforts to treat him nicely. But where will we bring that fair treatment that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered us to implement? Wow, what great love the Sahaba had. That how are we going to fulfill the haqq of this worker, of this servant? That can we really treat him nicely? She said, in my mind a point's coming. So she's giving now consultation to her husband. She's now advising her husband. Now the wife is advising who? Her husband. On this problem, she is solving the issue. As I said, that I just heard this hadith, I read this hadith, and I was silent. And the wife said, shall I give you an advice? I said, yes. So he was quiet, the sahabi, and his wife said, yes. Shall I give you mashwara? And he said, yes, tell me, I don't know what to think. She said that if we treat him fairly, the highest form of treating him fairly is that if we free him. We free him. That's it. End of story. There's no other solution. There's no other way that we can treat him the best. And the Sahabi Hazrat Abu Hashim said, oh, subhanAllah, great advice. So they freed him there and then. When the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this news that this was the mashura that occurred, they advised each other, and his wife advised him to free him. Then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, mashallah, his wife has given a beautiful piece of advice, great advice to her husband. SubhanAllah. So this hadith, my friends, it points us towards a great action, great ibadah. We need to see the first thing. If somebody seeks advice from you or me, the first responsibility is whose? From this hadith we realize, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that when we seek advice from somebody, that person who we seek advice from, remember that that person is being asked a question, could be secret, confidential. So he should be able to harbor the confidentiality. He's the harbor of confidentiality and trust and secret. So the first is when you go and seek advice from somebody and he or she gives advice, then that person on top of that gives bad advice, and then you implement that advice. And then that advice was poor, it was fragile, it was fractured. Then all your life long you'll swear that person, oh, I asked him about this shop, he said get this shop, buy this business, buy this house, or get married here. He advised me to do this action. Doesn't this happen nowadays? Isn't it? Because the person giving the advice is insincere. How many friendships break? How many families break up? Oh, I thought he was a good person, he was a good friend of mine, and he deceived me. He deceived me. I asked him for advice and he was jealous and he deceived me. He said to me, do this action, buy this car. And I listened to his advice. I followed his advice. He said, go to this place. There's a invitation coming to you, a proposal. And I got married here. Why? Because we didn't think that seeking advice was mashura, nor giving advice was ibadah. Why? Because we've not done tazkiyah of ourselves. We've not purified ourselves. We've not cleaned ourselves. And if we did, we'd realize that there are ibadat beyond the masjid. And what a great act of worship is seeking advice and giving advice. Sahih Tirmidhi hadith, and we need to tie a knot on this, because the muhaddithin, they have commented on this in depth. I'm not an alim scholar, I'm just telling you my broken down understanding, but we benefit from these discussions, alhamdulillah. So let's see here that from where to where the muhaddithin have tied a knot on this and analyze this. Anyway, we don't have time to go into the depth, but I will say this much, that there are two things that we have responsibility. One is that in the light of this hadith, when we seek advice, first thing, that this person I'm going to seek advice from, is he capable or is she capable of giving advice? When we need to seek a consultation, advice, always seek advice from that person who is a good person, honest, who can preserve the trust, and you know that he's capable or she's capable of advising, as aqal, understanding, wisdom. And then we'll go further and understand the basis of this hadith, that the person we seek advice from should be on that standard that he or she can give advice. So Abu Hashim, what did he ask for? Who did he ask mashwara from? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. So on this state is that when you need to seek advice, then go to somebody pious who's a wali of Allah or a sheikh, and go and seek mashwara. Ask that going to strangers and then you swear people for the rest of your life. No. So we need to be extremely cautious, and we would be very extremely fortunate if we're able to have a connection, communication with the wali of Allah. We can do mashwara with that person. We can only do that when we seek the company of a wali of Allah and we have the soul. But if we go to people who are dunyadar, bandits, criminals, gangsters, then we'll get bad advice. The people that you sit with and you keep their company, then obviously your thoughts will go there. Oh, let me go and ask that person. Let me ask him for advice or her for advice. This happens, doesn't it? Yeah. Or let me go and write a letter to the Sheikh Saab, or phone, or if his Sheikh is close by. He says, no, I'm going to go to see my Sheikh and ask him for advice, because I'll get good advice. What a great method and great opportunity. Then secondly, second principle, second point that emanates from this, is that the person, so one is the person who seeks the advice, he is responsible to go to the capable person. Don't blame others after. You should know who you're seeking advice from. And the person who's giving the advice, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, he should be amanadar, the person who's capable of preserving the trust, keeping the trust, not breaking the promise or opening out the secret. He should be so capable of confidentiality that what he is preserving, holding, keeping hold of, the trust, the secrets. Number one, so he's got that quality. And what secret, for example, the person asking advice, don't know what secret, he's going to share with you, I've got this problem, this has occurred with me, can you advise me? So the person who's being asked, if he cannot preserve the secret, he's heard the question, then he picks up the phone. Oh, you know, he came to me just now, he's asking me for advice, he's got this problem at home, look what's going on, ha ha. So then do the arguments not start? Do vicious whispers not propagate through society, then spread? Why? Because whose fault is it? It's mine. I went to get advice from a person who's not trustworthy. He's not trustworthy. He was not capable of preserving my trust. Yeah? So if he was honest, sincere, capable, then he would not break the trust. So this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that when a person goes to a pious person to ask for consultation and advice, then they stop their ibadah, their worship, their mamulat, their ibadat in the day, the time for praying, nawafil. They stop all of this. First and foremost, they will reply to the person who's seeking the advice, even if it takes hours, with total conviction and humbleness and sincerity, that they forget, I've got to do my wazifa now, ibadah, read Quran or do dhikr. Because the wali of Allah, the whole time of a wali of Allah, every second of theirs is for the sake of Allah, is for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't have time to waste chatting and gossiping and malicious rumor mongering. So it's fortunate of that, for that person who's seeking advice, that the wali of Allah takes out his personal time, then he goes into depth and gives the reply. Okay, if this is your problem, why is this? Okay, you could do this, option A, B, C. Even if it takes 2, 3, 4 hours, they will spend that much time. They don't do dhikr that day, the Quran is left behind, the ibadat is left behind, all the muamalat to get closer to Allah, they leave all to the wayside. I've seen such people like this, because when they see the opportunity that somebody's come to seek advice from me, that wali, that pious person. And if somebody, a man or woman, has no one else to ask from, then is in a bad situation, bad state, stuck, confused. And for example, if I'm asked for advice, no, I've got to do dhikr, I'm busy, go, I'll come back tomorrow. No, never do this. Huh, someone's coming to seek advice, you know you'll be able to differentiate who's wasting time, who's sincere, who's genuine. So if somebody's a time waster, we'll meet some other time. So the wali or the pious person or the one who's being asked for advice, he knows that who's a time waster and who's genuine, who's really in need, and he can differentiate. But when a genuine person comes to ask for advice and he's got a problem, an issue, distress them, give total time to that person. Slowly instill confidence in that person. Saturate your time with that person's issue. Does anyone do this today? No. Nobody's got time for anybody today. Anyway, so mashwara should be good. Advice, sincere. So the person who's seeking advice should be cautious. Then, for example, he says, oh, I spent this much on here, on my business, and it's finished now, I've lost out. This isn't something to seek advice for, is it? Yeah, this is not something on small minor matters. Ask for advice on those things in the light of the Quran and Hadith. There are masail in your life. You have some problems, some distresses due to the deen or some societal issue, family problem, friends, colleagues, business, some deeni. Yeah, no, oh, I'm doing this business and it's collapsed. And what shall I do now? Now that wali wala, he doesn't know what's the rate of this, the transaction, the currency value. You bought stock, you sold it, you lost out, there's loss. This is, he hasn't got the awareness of your business, has he? So you're wasting time. So if you want to talk rubbish or waste time and really confuse somebody, then instead of doing that, rather than speaking nonsense and talk for hours on and unravel all of the issues for hours, here, you say, look, I spent here 100,000, I lost 23,000. If this previous year I didn't put this much investment in, then I could have made 300,000 the next year. This is my forecast projection. No, look, if a person's really stuck and he needs to get some advice, then don't go into too much detail. Say, look, Sheikh, please do dua for me, pray for me, I'm stuck today, I've got some issues. That's the best way. It's concise and short. I'm giving you advice, Islamically, how to seek advice. So, what is seeking advice consultation? First and foremost, the person seeking advice, the person who wants the advice, he should be cautious and select the person carefully who you're going to ask for. And then secondly, you're the eldest at home, you're the eldest brother, you're the father, you're an uncle, or you're mamuji, you've got nephews, nieces. So people will ask you for help. Or if you're assisting your friend, advising your friend, or a sister is advising her friend. So first you have to analyze yourself. Am I capable of giving advice to this person? Some people, they want fame and glory. Oh, he's coming to me for advice. Yeah, I'll give advice. No, you tell me your problems, I'll advise you. Just do this and do that. Beware, don't do this. What is this? This is hadith. The person who gives wrong advice or wrong reply, very severe sinful person is that person. And the loss that is given to the person that you give the wrong advice to, the amount of loss or the amount of sin that person goes towards will come onto the head of that person who gave the wrong advice. So avoid giving advice if you're not capable. Avoid giving consultation if you're not capable. If someone seeks consultation, then give an excuse. Sorry, this is something that's not within my capability. This is beyond my level, beyond my understanding. I don't know how to answer you. It's difficult. I don't understand this masala. Seek from somebody else. Rather than trying to become Chaudhary Saab and answer all the questions and show that you're capable, just put the person into the touch. No. He'll say, no, you're intellectual, you've got brains, I've been told, you know. But he'll try to make you say something. Say, sorry, I don't know, I just cannot answer you. Mahazrat, rahmatullah, I've seen this in his majlis. How this happened, that somebody would come to seek advice. Hazrat, understand, somebody came to seek advice. Hazrat would say, look, I'm jahil, I'm illiterate, go and ask an alim. Subhanallah, end of story. In the story, Hazrat was saying this, I don't have the ilm, I don't have the knowledge, this masla, I don't understand this, that there are some muftis here, ask them, I don't have the knowledge of this, I cannot answer you. There's nothing wrong with that. You're not losing nothing. You're not demoting yourself or lowering yourself. But if I think, oh, he's asking me, if I don't give the answer, they'll think that I'm useless, I'll have to say something, give some sort of advice, then he speaks wrong. The wrong advice in the house. No, you do this, you do that, I'll tell you, I know better than you. Just say, I don't know. Just say, I don't know, that I like this, in my eyes, I'm not capable, I don't have the knowledge, I don't have the experience. I cannot fall back on any experience. This is hadith. So first principle, the seeker of advice, select the right person, capable, who's got experience, who can answer you correctly. Number two, and if you have to give the advice, been asked a question, then be careful, cautious. If you're capable, answer. If not, leave it out. The third point now that comes from the hadith, beautiful point, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that he said, you select Abu Hashim said, you select that I ask for your advice, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whoever's best you give to me. So what standard did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam select? What was his success criteria or criteria for selection? Say it loudly. Salah. He prays salah. You pray salah, don't you? So why are you embarrassed? What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Nothing. That he's got strength, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got influence. Take him there. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one thing, that I've seen him praying salah. I've observed him. So here we realize another principle is that alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, whenever you give somebody some advice, somebody asks you, wants to consult with you to for your help, assistance, in your assistance, in your reply, first and foremost, you should keep the basis of akhirah, benefit of akhirah. Say subhanallah, subhanallah, if you understand what I'm saying and it's come into your heads, into aql. What should it be? Benefit of akhirah. For example, I'm asked, I've got a problem, can you help me? And it's a worldly issue. If I do this, then this will happen. And if this happens, this will happen. What answer do I have to give? I need to think. I need to weigh up here. That what answer shall I give to this person that it benefits him thereafter? That today he's opening a shop, business, and he's praying salah 5 times a day. And shaitan makes him go to expand his business. He's going to leave the masjid. He's going to leave jama'ah, salah. Somebody comes to me for mashwara. Shall I expand my business? I say, stay quiet. You've got issues already in this small scale business you're running. You want to expand. You're driving a taxi. You can't even pray salah. And then you want to open up businesses. I want to be able to see you in anything. No. I'm thinking I'll get some more income. And if I expand, then I drive a taxi. I don't earn much, save much, and I leave my salah. If I have my own business, then I'll be in the masjid all day long. Until today, I've not seen anyone do this. Anybody, that they don't even come to dhikr, sometimes he disappears for good. Can't even realize where that person's lost. And the mashra we gave him, he asked me advice. I gave him advice that look, just do it within your capability capacity. So the first thing, the point that should be with your answer is that let me reply to him for benefit of akhirah. First of all, we should have mal, wealth of amal, deeds. If we don't get riyal or pounds, no problem. Give mashra that what should come into the pocket of that person? Amal, deeds. What reply do we give? Riyals, pounds, currency, because we want to show, oh, I advised him, get this shop, you'll run the business, and I gave you advice so you can recognize me, appreciate me. Your children will do it, your family will do it. No, this is nonsense. This is nonsense. It's not right. We need to understand this. So we've made that person lose out. And the person who were to do wrong, look, the person, he knows himself who's come to seek advice. If I open the shop, it's going to be too much pressure for me, but he wants some reassurance. So the person who's going to join him first is call that person who gave the wrong advice first. Let's account him. He made him go towards that occupation. He left his salah, his fasting, his remembrance of Allah. This is that person who gave the wrong advice. First, he gets punished. So whenever you have to reply to someone's questions, when he seeks out wedding and partnership or business or dunya, that for example, someone comes and says, I want to get my daughter wedded. This is a proposal. We say, which boy? This boy? Okay. Is the proposal, has he got a beard? Is he praying salah? Has he got taqwa? The other person is on a higher post. No, give to this person who's dini, if you've got courage to give a right answer. What will you say? First and foremost, who will you select first? The person who's dini, because you're looking towards that person's akhirah, hereafter. So this is a solid point now that Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us that the best advice is that advice, and the best advice and assistance is that assistance and advice that is linked to the akhirah. But if there's just dunya in our advice, then we will not earn nothing, nor will the person seek advice, nor will the other person know for loose money. The money will go into the bank in the account. You keep on counting, lose the time. Today I've got this money, tomorrow this much, yesterday this much. You can't even see that money. You don't even know that. I've not seen until today the hundreds of thousands in my bank. They're in the bank. They're in the account. They're in our thoughts, in our dreams. Look, we dream about money. If I get £1 million in my account, I've got a million in my account. So why do you say it's yours? It's in the bank. It's mine. It's mine. It's not even yours. Until today, you've not even seen those notes. That cash, what a big fool deceit. Like, for example, I say to you, hey, here's this 100,000 yours. Here, Chaudhary Sahib, 100,000 for you. Hey, 100,000 for Chaudhary Sahib. And you'll go home and say to his wife, hey, 100,000 rupees have come. She'll slap. Where's the money? You say, oh, it's just come. It's being transferred. It's on the document. So this is our situation. That the money I've got, 100,000, 200,000, 500,000, all a waste. Waste. You can't even touch it. You don't even use it. Just think about it. But if someone does dhikr after remembering Allah, alhamdulillah, 100,000 rewards. Who? Haq. Truth. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And this is saved in the account. You don't need a receipt. You don't need a payment completion transfer. And you close your eyes and you will get the reward. No signature on the dotted line. No need. You'll get it straight away. But we don't have yakin on this. We don't have certainty on this. On which basis are we alive? Just on words that travel through thin air. But we should seek advice from that person who's got sincerity and give the reply which is linked to the person's akhirah. Anyway, I need to conclude this topic. We need to do dhikr. If it comes back to my mind, we will continue this, because this is a great, great ibadah in mashallah. We realize two things: how to give advice and how to seek advice, and what is the basis of seeking advice. So if we realize what is mashura, akhirah. Hereafter, its link should be to the akhira, and that mashura you should accept, and you should give the right advice to other people. Whenever you give mashura to anybody, then give it from the depths of your heart and consider it as ibadah, worship, so you can solve that person's issues. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.